Genesis chapter number 1. Lord sure is good, isn't he? Let's go to verse 24. We just finished the fifth day. Last week, we talked about the first half of the sixth day. Verse 24 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Verse 29 is an interesting statement. Verse 29 tells us, and if you read your Bible about the account of Noah, matter of fact, let me take you there just to show you. Stay there in Genesis 1, don't lose your place. Go over to, I think it's Genesis 9. I hadn't planned on talking about this. Genesis chapter 9. Let's look at verse 1. Genesis 9, 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." We've heard that before. "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." Watch this, verse 3. "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." You see what happened in verse 3? Genesis 9:3 is different than Genesis 1. Because Genesis 9:3 says, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you." Now go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse number 29 again. Verse 29 again says, "And God says, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." The significance of those two statements before the flood, man was a vegetarian. According to the Word of God, before the flood, man was a vegetarian. There's herbivores, there's carnivores, and there's omnivores. An herbivore is something that eats plants, herbivores. Carnivores, something that eats meat. Omnivores, something that eats both. Man is an omnivore. Man was not always an omnivore. Prior to the flood, man was an herbivore. He was a plant eater. He was a vegetarian. Now, let me say this. I have read books that try to get you to believe that we need to be biblical and go back to the Garden of Eden for our diet. Now, I'm not going to be critical of you if you choose to have a vegetarian diet, but I will tell you, you do not have the biblical authority to tell me that I can't eat meat. You do not have the biblical authority to tell me it's going to hurt me if I eat meat. You need to come back tonight. I'm going to be talking about that. Okay? It's not going to hurt me to eat meat. God blessed it. You read Acts. You read what Paul says later on. You know, nothing is to be refrained from if it's blessed by God. Nothing. So to tell me that I'm hurting myself by eating meat. Now, too much meat? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Too much root vegetables. What's the downside of a root vegetable? Anybody know? Do you know the downside of a root vegetable? The high sugar content. Too much root vegetables, it's not good for your blood sugar. You know, matter of fact, they will tell you if you're on a low carb diet, they'll tell you you need to eat more meat. You need to eat more protein. And that's what they'll tell you. But folks, be careful what you read. And I would say this, some of it sounds awfully good. And there may be good in it. It may contain good. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's all right. We've just got to understand that. Like I said, I'm not going to be critical of you if you choose to have a vegetarian diet. I would say, though, but that you do not have the biblical authority to tell somebody else they have to be a vegetarian. That's may sound convincing. The only problem is it's not Bible. So we've got to be careful of that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So our understanding, and I can't necessarily explain this, okay? But our understanding is before the flood, everything was a vegetarian. That's why when you talk about in the end times, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. This is one of those cases where I can't necessarily explain it, but I believe it. Okay? I trust the Lord in this. You know what? He hadn't failed me yet. God hasn't let me down one time. So I trust him in that. So let's keep reading. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. Now this is different. Watch what it says. And behold, it was, what's that next word? Very good. Every other time he just said it was good. Well, now God looks at his completed creation and says it was very good. By the way, I need to step back and say this statement condemns the chaotic earth theory. This statement condemns the term that's known as the gap theory. Michael Pearl, he writes a book called magazine called No Greater Joy. He has some good helpful hints in there. I don't agree with all his theology. He has some good helpful hints on parenting. Michael Pearl believes in the gap theory. This verse refutes the gap theory because what gappers teach you is that that's when the devil fell and came to earth. Well, that's not true. If the devil fell and was on the earth at this time, then how could God say that he saw, beheld everything, and it was very good? How could he do that? He couldn't do that. So that statement refutes the gap theory, the chaotic earth theory, that the devil was on the earth at that time. Let's go back to verse number 24. Let's review a little bit from last week. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind. Now watch the three categories. Remember these three categories? First one is cattle. What did we say in a general sense cattle refers to? They refer to what? Domesticated animals. Cattle refer to all sorts of domesticated animals. Let's go back to verse number 24. And it says, and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. What does creeping thing refer to? Anybody remember? Creeping thing? Okay, mice, yeah, Jim? Sure, anything low to the ground. It could have legs, maybe it doesn't necessarily have legs. Do you remember last week we went to Leviticus? Does anybody have it written down? I think it was Leviticus 11. Was it? Anybody know? In the book of Leviticus, I think it was Leviticus 11, when it talked about the unholy creeping things. And it listed all these unholy creeping things. Was it chapter 11, sweetheart? Okay. It was unholy creeping things. And it listed all these creeping things, mice and all of these things, which made us understand that the list of creeping things was greater than that. Those were just the unholy ones. the things they could not touch if they were dead. Okay? And that if they did, they were unclean until the evening. So we talked about that. So rather than use this genus, phylum, class, order, or kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species, and then all the subcategories within those, that is not the biblical breakdown. The biblical breakdown of animals is mainly just into three groups. There's the cattle, which are domesticated animals. There's the creeping things, which are those things that are low to the ground. And then there are the undomesticated animals, which are referred to in the Bible as beasts. And what did we say last week? The significant animal that causes so much controversy, or the group of animals that cause so much controversy, would fall into this category. What type was that? Dinosaur. We mentioned, why are dinosaurs, why is the word dinosaur not mentioned in the Bible? And there's a very simple explanation for that. Can anybody tell me what that is? Yeah, that's right. The word dinosaur didn't come around until the 1800s. Bible, the King James English, our authoritative English translation was been around for over 200 years before the word dinosaur was even created. What does dinosaur mean? Anybody know? Giant lizard. Dinosaur. Okay? So the word dinosaur is not mentioned. Dinosaurs aren't mentioned in the Bible because the word wasn't even invented yet. Which leads me to a very interesting point. Go to verse number 26. Verse number 26, which says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." You see that word man? You see that word man? Watch this. Skip over in chapter 2. Skip down to, and now that I'm here, okay, look at verse number 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." You see that word man? Watch this. Skip down to verse number 20. Verse number 19, I'm sorry. First time this is used. "And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto," what is that word, that next word? Adam. You see that? Do you know the significance of that word? Adam is the Hebrew word for man. So when you see the word man, and God said, "Let us make man in our image," do you know where they get that word from? Adam. Because that is the Hebrew word for man. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, an elephant walks by. God gave Adam the job of naming all the animals, and Adam says, that's an elephant. And he says, "Why is that an elephant?" He said, "Because it looks like an elephant." But Adam, there's some sense to where they got that name from. And that's because Adam means man. And man comes from the Hebrew word, which is Adam. Let's go back to verse 26. Let me show you a couple other things. It says, "And God said, let," what's that next word? "Us." The significance of that word is, it in the beginning, it speaks to us as God is a Trinity. Now, we can't necessarily say in this statement that God is a Trinity, but we can definitely say in this statement that God, one God, because the word God said, that word God is singular. It's not, "and the gods said." That's not right, okay? It's the singular word for God. So the God and God in the singular form said, "Let us," plural. There is one God. He manifests himself in how many persons? Three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? He manifests himself in three persons. But there's only one God. Now the question is, somebody tell me how you know when he says, let us, he's not referring to the angels. Someone says, well, he's just referring to the angels there. How do we know that's not a true statement? Mrs. Ewer. That's right. That's right. Man was not made in the image of the angels. Man was made, skip down to verse number 27. So God created man in his singular own image. Does not say, so God created man in the image of God and the angels. So he's not referring to the angels. He's not referring to the cattle. Because cattle don't have a relationship with God. Because cattle don't have a... They do have a soul. They don't have a spirit. Spirit, that's right. Yeah, we'll get that, won't we? They have a soul, but they don't have a spirit. We're going to talk about that some more in just a minute. So, he's not referring to animals. He's not referring to angels. So when he says, let us make man in our image, what image was man made in? Well, the very next word, verse. So God created man in his own image. Man was made in the image of God. Let's talk about that for a minute. Go to, don't lose your place here, go to the Psalm, Psalm 2. The second Psalm. Psalm 2, somebody have verse 7, Steve, you got verse 7 there? Read that out loud. Yes. Okay, see what he says in the first part of verse 7? He says, I will declare the decree, that's God talking. The Lord hath said unto me, see the word Lord, remember we talked about that, capital L, and then the O-R-D are capitals, but they're small capitals. Capital L, small capital O-R-D, that always means, what Lord are we talking about? Jehovah. Should be no question in our minds. By the way, I want to say this. I was reading an opinion in the Wall Street Journal in the last week or so, where he was saying that Allah is the same as Jehovah, and I've got to tell you, that may make good history, but that's not Bible. Don't you let the unsaved world convince you that we serve the same God as the Muslims. Don't you do it. That's not Bible. Jehovah, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Matter of fact, the prophets of Baal, as sincere and as earnest as they were in the worship of God, cost them their heads. Sincere, devoted, earnest, dead. Executed. Okay? It's not the same. It is not the same. Go to Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter 48. You know, sometimes I struggle. We want to be gracious. Sometimes I'm not as gracious as I should be. Yes, sir, Doc. Quran. Sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God wants us to worship him. God has made a very plain and clear and distinct way for us to worship him. Man has created his own devices. Leave Isaiah. Go back to Genesis. Let me show you what I mean. Chapter number 11. Man has created his own devices to confuse the issue. How many of you have ever had somebody say to you, well, how do you know your God is the right God to serve? Anybody ever said that? I've had that said to me. Well, how do you know that your God's the right God? Very simply, I would tell you, we have to come to God in faith. He, the Bible tells us, that cometh to God must believe that he is. I am going to place my faith in something Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. We're going to serve somebody. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah God, the Lord. That's right. So he said, we'll serve the Lord, Jehovah God. Just so there's no question which Lord we're talking about, which God we're talking about. Genesis chapter number 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had made brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And watch this. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let me explain this. I do not believe the understanding of the story is they were going to build a tower tall enough to reach to the top of heaven. I don't believe that. I believe very strongly what was happening here is they were building a place of worship that had a tower. And if you read in the Old Testament, if you read all these different passages of Scripture that refer to the bad kingdoms and the way they worshiped the Lord, they had the groves, they had the altars, and this was one of those things. They had a tower. The understanding here is it was almost some type of an occultic worship place. When I was in Canada, we're driving down the country roads in Canada, and I saw something I'd never seen before. I see up on the side of the road, on the top of the rocks, I see a stack of small rocks. Anybody ever seen that? I found out what that is. I'm driving more and I see another stack of rocks. And I'm driving more and I'm seeing another stack of rocks. Those are Wiccan, I'm going to call them altars. But their purpose is they are portals. The places where the spirits come in and go out. That's what they teach. Now, honestly, I've got a woman who's with child who's going to have a lawyer. She's got more baloney, or that thing had more baloney than that woman had craving for. Okay? But that's what they teach. Those are portals to the other world, to the spirit world. And what they were building here in Genesis 11 was a portal to the spirit world. It was a place to worship the spirits. And they, just like the devil tried to do in the Garden of Eden, they were trying to get them to worship and to see things as God sees. And they were making themselves equal with God. That's what the devil did. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. They were trying to make themselves equal with God. And so it's very interesting to see that. I'm saying all that to say God wants us to worship him. He wants us to serve him. He gives us a very clear way to do that, and man, in his own devices, has created. The Bible, the Word of God, I'll say Judaism, I'm going to lump it into that. The Judeo-Christian way of teaching is the only teaching that takes us back to the creation of the world. And it's the only one that deals with God, relationship-wise, from the creation of the world. Islam didn't do that. Muhammad, when was it, 800, 700 A.D.? A.D. So we've got 4,500 years before that. So did God not have a relationship with man? Let me say, the Mormon church. I use that term loosely. The Mormons. Joseph Smith, they say, if you're not baptized into the Mormon church, you're going to hell. So what about all those people before Joseph Smith? And they came up with an answer to that. Anybody know what that answer was? Anybody know? Baptism for the dead. They took a verse in Corinthians out of context, and they said, that must mean what that's talking about. Do you know the number one source for genealogy in the world? Where is it, Ms. Shutan? In the Mormon church. Do you know why? That is why. There are people in the Mormon temples, all they do are get baptized for the dead. That's their job. They get baptized, and they have a genealogical tree that takes them back so they know exactly who it is. That's why the Mormon church, I need to stop saying that. That's why the Mormons have the best source for genealogy. That's the reason. That's where they get it from. But God is not the author of confusion. He's not trying to confuse us. He's given us a way to serve Him. Let's keep going here. Let's be very quick here, okay? Okay, let's go back to Genesis. I've got to skip a little bit. We've got the us that we just talked about. We've got the Hebrew word for man. What's the Hebrew word for man? Adam, very good. All right, now we go to Genesis chapter 1, skip down to verse number 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Skip back down to verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Man was created. We talked about this third level. Because man has a spirit. And only man has a spirit. There's a different level of creation here. However, verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Why would God use the term make and the term created when he refers to man? I will tell you this. Because man has a body. Since the beginning of creation, everything necessary to make a body was there. Man has a soul. Since the animals, verse 21, when God created great whales, since that creation, the soul was there. Do you remember the Hebrew word for soul, anybody? It is nephesh. Soul, life, creation. Same word. Nephesh. So now we've got the body was created. We've got the soul was created. So when we talk about man, man was created. Man was also made. The term we use to describe man's three parts is what? Anybody remember? A trichotomy. Three parts of man. He's got a spirit. He's got a soul like the animals. He's got a body like every living thing. So now man is the ultimate creation. It should not surprise us that man was created and he would have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Should not surprise us. Should not. Because of this level of creation. Man has a body like plants and animals. Man has a soul like animals. But only man has a spirit. And remember, that spirit is that thing that allows us to have a relationship with God. Man was made. Man was created. Man was made in the image of God. Now, we're not going to be able to finish that up until next week. If man was made in the image of God, but he was made, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that next week, okay? Anybody have any questions about what we've talked about? Any questions? I encourage it. If you do, write them down. Maybe you don't want to ask them out loud. I won't embarrass you, I promise. If you have a question, write it down. Put it on a piece of paper. Don't even put your name to it. It has to be nice, and it has to pertain to what we're discussing. It's the only requirements I have. Okay? All right. No questions? Well, amen. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed and come back in about 10.